This is from Death by Denim, which takes place in France. It's the opening. I knew it was just a matter of time before they caught up with us. Knew it every morning as I kissed my mother goodbye and walked out the door. Knew it every afternoon as I rode my bike home from the school in Lyon, France, where I had enrolled under a counterfeit name. Knew it every minute of every day, so it shouldn't have hit me with such a jolt when I noticed the man following me. But it did. Part of the shock, I suppose, was the realization that I'd seen him before. Despite all the rules and the techniques my mom had tried to drill into my head since we'd slipped underground, his presence hadn't more than grazed my consciousness before. Looking back, I recognized how often he'd been in the shadows or hovering around the periphery of my attention. It wasn't until he grew bold and walked right past me, though, that all the other sightings registered in my head. Then everything fell into place. Thunk, 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 like bars in a cage locking tight. We'd been out to dinner, my mom and I. It was a beautiful evening with the first promise of summer riding on the breeze and a sky so clear above us that the stars shone like a million tiny lanterns. We strolled along the Rhone River on our way home, watching the barges glide past, the reflection of their lights stretching across the inky water like shimmering tentacles. I let my mind wander. I imagined those barges following the river until eventually it emptied into the ocean sea, the open sea. How long would it take them to sail from ocean to ocean and finally reach the island I used to call home? Like before, I was so preoccupied that the man's presence barely registered. He'd been leaning against the stone retaining wall, smoking, watching us, I know now. As we neared, he pushed away from the wall and dropped his cigarette, grinding it out with the toe of a snakeskin boot. I'm not sure if it was the movement or the boot that drew my attention. All I know is that I suddenly was very aware of him striding toward us. As I'd been taught, I made a quick catalog of his features without letting my eyes fully rest on his face. He stood a full head taller than me, broad-shouldered, but thin, almost to the point of being lanky. Even in the darkness, I could see the leathery texture of his skin, like he'd spent a lot of time in the wind and sun. He reminded me of the kind of rugged, outdoorsy types they featured in those old Marlboro cigarette ads. Mom must have felt me stiffen next to her as he neared, because she slipped her arm through mine to propel me forward. "Keep walking," she whispered. She didn't have to remind me. I knew the drill. Head up, no eye contact, just act casual. I patted her hand and laughed as if she'd said something really clever. Okay, so maybe the pat and the laugh were overkill, but I had to do something to mask the pounding in my chest and the weird catch in my throat as I drew each breath. The man brushed past me, so close that the sleeve of his denim shirt touched my arm and I could smell the sharp, burnt roofing tar stench on his breath. The vibration of his snakeskin boots striking the stone so close to my feet seemed to echo, "Run, run, run," but even then I didn't know exactly why. It took several steps for the dark, smoky stink to register in my head as familiar. And the boots, I'd seen them before. That's when it all came flooding back. That's when I knew we'd been found.
Thank you.